in the golden age of Chicago's cabaret scene, Jen Porter was legendary for her passionate music. Many folks compared her soulful, raspy voice to Janis Joplin.
Jen left Chicago 10 years ago for the Caribbean desert island of Aruba, and for the past decade, she's been playing in clubs all around the world. In her journeys, Jen accidentally discovered bondage and is now feeling her oats as a dominatrix.
Today, musician Jen Porter joins us to share some songs from her new album, What's Next, and talk about her horrible accident that caused blindness in her right eye. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
I've had just enough, and I wish I had your hand to hold. I'm trying not to watch the clock, just let my dreams unfold. I often get what I go for, at least that's what my memories say.
Make this joke. A libertarian is just a Republican who likes to do what?
Smoke pot.
Yes.
Well, folks, she is back. Our guest today is the person who inspired this quip many years ago, musician Jen Porter.
Hey, Mark and Fausto. So glad to be here back on Feast of Fun.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see you. Yeah, I think one of my favorite things about doing this podcast over, we're in our 15th season now, is just is visiting again with people who came and did the podcast years ago and be like, hey, what's up, girl?
I think my first time, you were still Feast of Fools at that time, actually. Am I not allowed to say that, by the way?
Yeah,
like, trademark,
yeah.
Whatever.
We don't talk about that name anymore. Don't dead name me, Jen.
Oh,
don't
no.
dead name me. No, but when you were on our show, Chicago had a vibrant cabaret theater community.
Yes, I agree.
And for people who may not be familiar even what cabaret is today, think of it as like stand-up comedy clubs, mm-hmm. but instead of jokes, it's music, and usually the person singing is creating the music from an instrument on the piano or mm-hmm. elsewhere.
And there's plenty of jokes to be had as well. I mean, yeah. at least, you know, back in the day. Is it still there as Scarlet now?
It is
what
there.
Was the gentry has been gentry? Scarlet, a dance yeah. club. Like, the whole joke to me was, we didn't really need another dance club in Boys Clown.
Clowstown.
That's going to be a bumper sticker.
That's a new bumper sticker.
Boys Clown Pride.
Oh, my God. The best things come out of nowhere. I didn't think they needed really another dance club in Boystown. I loved going to a lot of the places that are Berlin's still around. You know, I mean, there's still some great Hydrators there, you know, which used to be Manhole, right?
Yeah.
I get confused about who was what back
in the
day. I
missed the Roxy. I read about it in a book. I've actually never been there.
Oh, okay.
I missed Clarks on Clarks. That was our hangout. Mm. And the Eagle. That's where Fausto and I met.
The Eagle, yes.
Yeah, when Mark and I tell people that
they
we
probably wouldn't have let me in, by the way.
The Eagle, yeah, they let women in.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to the back room.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, and that's kind of like interesting today because there some clubs have like a little hanky panky area, mm-hmm. and you as a gender female identifying individual can partake in it. with the understanding that you have to take your top off.
Well, yeah, but I have to wear a bra because legally I can't be topless in public
when you're sucking a dick in
America.
Public.
Right.
Well, you have to be wearing fetish wear, right? Or
it's better off that way. Yeah, you have to take your top off still, but it's okay because most women wear bras these days. It's not the late 60s, unfortunately. But so I'm allowed to go down in the hole at Jackhammer, for instance, where I love to be. Hi, Jimmy. Shout out.
Hi, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Jimmy's the bartender.
Jimmy's the owner.
The owner.
Except they don't own the building, so they were just saved a few years ago. They were almost going to be Dunskies because someone who does own the building was like, and it was them and Touche, and you know that's all one building there, and Leather 6410 in the middle. That's all one building. So apparently, whoever owns that building was ready to get rid of it.
I think they brought in some people that owned some other bars, and so now they're kind of like a group. And they own it all together.
They're going to be turning it into a Fuddruckers. We still serve meat.
Indeed, they do.
So at the time, like, you know, you were sort of, you were a very celebrated musician in the gay community here in Chicago. And for a lot of people, they were a little bit wondering why this nice young girl was participating in these gay bars, and you answered it because you were sort of the real life Will and Grace.
That's kind of true. I live with my best friend who identifies as gay. He apparently, he's pretty far on that end. Let's call it like that. I'm the bi, open, pan, fluid. Let's try everything because how do I know what I like if I don't try it kind of person. At that time, I hadn't really found all of my, I guess identifiers is the word, right?
Your kinks.
And what they were called. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Little things like that where it was like polyamorous or pansexual. That those words were new to me just a few years ago to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not.
What is pansexual? Is it having sex with Pam cooking spray?
You're so cute. Well, I would almost think more like pan, like P-A-N, Nancy N, like the guy
like
with
Peter
the flute,
Pan.
Like a pan flute.
Yeah, so you like people
cross,
who don't grow up,
right? Pan means a
pan
cross.
Pan means a cross. Yeah. So like so Pan America was the airline that used to cross.
Yeah, just for the record, I know what it is, but I'm being stupid for the listeners. So like you're into
across
Peter
the
Pan.
Spectrum.
So if bisexual is liking men and women, pansexual, for me, I identify it this way these days. I say I don't really care what hangs between your legs, and I don't really care how you identify between your ears. Oh. If I like you, I like you. And if you like me, you like me. So I almost don't even want to say pansexual. I just want to say I'm just a sexual being. Lucky for me, I was born this way, just like everybody else who says they're not quite straight, white, you know, male, if you're not those things.
Sophie B. Hawkins, another very popular singer-songwriter.
Yeah.
What was her hit song? I don't want to wait for a life to be over.
No, that's not her. That's
but you know, that's one of those songs.
But
that were on, like on TV on the CW in the 80s, 90s, or whatever. Yeah. And so when she came out, she described herself as an omnisexual.
Yes,
which
I like
means
that.
Sex with aliens.
Damn, I wish I was your lover right beside you as I lay me down.
That was the one, though. I wish I was your lover.
Yes.
And it is almost, she's almost androgynous in like the whole thing, which is kind of cool in that sense, too.
And so, you know, in terms of like a lot of LGBTQ people, they, you know, we see this all the time that they're always sort of like wrestling with what words to describe themselves, not necessarily just to, you know, put themselves in a box, but so to liberate themselves from a closet, right?
And to define themselves to others who are not familiar. I think that's, we were joking this morning about, you know, women who like women are okay with being called lesbian again, right? Like,
yeah, there's a new study that says young women who have sex with women are now lesbianing it back. They're using the term lesbian again.
Well, maybe because the L word's coming back. And so they're probably like, I guess it's going to be cool to be a lesbian again. Because for a while, women weren't identifying lesbian. They're just like, I like what I like and that kind of thing.
Do you remember the word gay L?
No.
For like a hot 15 minutes of fame.
Okay.
A group of very rich, powerful women in Los Angeles created the Gay L organization to try to convince women around the world to stop using the word lesbian or gay, because gay was patriarchy and lesbian was a term put upon them by the patriarchy.
Understood. Makes sense.
And I was like, that sounds like some brand of false eyelashes or something.
Yeah. Gayle false eyelashes. Gayle.
So that never caught on.
Well, this is a world where it's true. We're all having to choose all of these different identifiers so that we can explain ourselves to people. And that has to do with social media, too, don't you think? Like, you categorize who you are by choosing,
it's
checking these boxes.
Search engine optimization.
Yeah. It is, but it makes us all have to take on these labels. And then I don't think we all realize how constricting and or restricting that really is to our lives.
What word triggers you? What label word? You know what triggers me?
Normal.
When people say, you're the media in a dirty way. And I'm like, listen, just because you got on RuPaul's Drag Race doesn't mean we can't be friends anymore.
True that.
Well, you know, it's like there's a war on media and it's launched in the White House. You know, it's this president out there is like, do not trust the media. And the thing is, yes, you should question the media, but you also have to remember the media has a very important role in society. And that is to keep people that tell you don't trust the media in check.
Well, right. In the age of social media. Mm-hmm. Anyone who asks questions for the benefit of the public is the media.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what someone says, I don't trust the media. You're saying, I don't trust anybody who asks questions.
So like anybody on Twitter, you know, so if you're on a Twitter account, you're in the media. If you have an Instagram account, you're in the media.
You're the media. Mm-hmm. Like Oprah, you get a car.
You're the media and you're the media.
So Jen, like at this point now, you sort of gone from being libertarian to being a Norwegian socialist. You've gone from being sort of singer-songwriter to a full-blown pansexual, and this is the term we decided together to describe you, an amateur dominatrix.
Yes, amateur.
Why not experienced?
I'm not that experienced.
You're wet.
I'm trying to get wetter,
isn't
of
that
course.
The whole point?
Yes. Domination does make me wet, and you don't have to have any part of touching my body at all for that to be something that's gratifying to me in a different way. I very much have enjoyed finding BDSM, basically, for those that are unfamiliar with those terms. BDSM, even though Fifty Shades of Grey has made it seem kind of popular for the straight world, maybe not so much. I feel like, again,
you can buy bondage gear at Target now.
I know. I think Walmart sells vibrators as well.
No, like whips.
Really?
Yes. At Target.
Children, please don't buy your whip from
50
Target.
50 Shades of Grey branded whips for the husband and wife who wanted to get into a little role play.
That's unsafe. I don't even think that I can endorse that. I love the idea that some of the people who would already be drawn to BDSM are getting a different idea of it and then maybe doing their own research. Because there's, of course, a lot of safety issues and a lot of, you know, someone else's mental health is in your hands, not just their physical health. So there's like a lot to be working on. It's a constant process of getting better at being a good dom and being being responsible as a dom as well. You can use dom, dom A, dominatrix. They're all really kind of, it's whatever a person wants to take on. I prefer mistress, to be honest with you. I like when people call me mistress.
Are you just basically bossing people around for fun and
a
games?
A little bit, yeah.
Are you getting any of them to clean your apartment for free?
Not yet, but I do want to work on that. I really do think that I could find a good slave that would want to come over and clean my house. Absolutely.
Because that's what I'm really looking for. And people say they're going to do it, but you know what? They never show it. They want the fantasy of it. They don't actually want it.
Well, maybe you're not giving them some of the other parts, because that's their service to you, but then what are they getting out of it?
Well,
it should be a spanking
them.
Or exactly. So maybe that's where
a little choking.
Wait a second. So BDS bondage has to be not just consensual but cooperative.
Indeed. Yeah. It's not fun if everybody doesn't want it to happen.
It's an exchange of power, right?
Yes.
I always had a fantasy of being a dominatrix, but you know, like a unfair one.
Well, often they are. I had one of my first true spanking experiences where I was the bottom on that. I was the spanky. He said to me at the end of the thing, he said, okay, now you're going to clean all the paddles and stuff because essentially doms are lazy. So it's a joke, but it's not a joke in the sense that,
did you have to clean it?
Yeah. I had to clean the paddles that were used for my spanking.
What do you clean them with?
Just a little bit of like a Lysol wipe kind of thing, just for safety.
Get the cooties off.
No, cooking spray is not a good thing to use.
I heard that cooking spray is actually really good for like lubricating your body.
You should not use
like
drinking
bodybuilders use it on stage to get shiny.
Fuck water is actually my favorite water-based lube right now. I got it at the Leather 6410. See, that's the joke, right? They probably wouldn't sell fuck water because it had a swear word in it, but they'll sell you a shitty whip that could possibly hurt somebody in a bad way.
Well, can't you just be a good way. Dominatrix with everyday household objects?
Absolutely.
Spatulas work wonderful, right?
Yeah. The paint stick, like the stirrers, though you can get those for free at Ace Hardware. Those are really great because they're light kind of balsa wood.
Okay.
So you can get a good sting out of those, and yet, oh my gosh, now we're going to have to do another... We're going to have to do another feast of fun when I bring all my toys and we can talk about some of the. We can talk
you
about
see
some
this
of the,
necktie? It can be a blindfold. You see this dog chew toy? It can become a dog chew toy.
There's a belt that becomes cuffs, and I'm fairly certain that was also at that same shop. It's a beautiful leather belt, but it's got just one extra little thing so that it becomes wrist restraints.
Oh,
I know.
So I have a choice of like tying up my my slave or keeping my pants up.
That's the choice. Yeah. Well, I think if you're going to tie up your slave, then you probably don't want to keep your pants up anymore.
That's true.
What is the biggest change you've seen in yourself? I mean, you've grown so much. I think it was last time was a decade ago that we talked
to you.
I think it can't have been that long.
I think it was for my third album, which was 2006. That's even more.
No. Yeah.
It can't have been that long.
Well, because you moved,
we're
to be
go
fair,
through the archives.
You moved to another country.
Well, I've been...
To Aruba.
I've been traveling in different countries now for 12 years. 2008 was when I started working in St. Martin. Which is Dutch and French, and I knew then that that's what my life was going to be for the foreseeable future, which it has been for 12 years. So I work consistently in St. Martin and Aruba.
So you're an expatriate?
A bit, yes. Yeah.
And you're like, America sucks. You don't want to move there.
I want America to get better. That's kind of how I see it. And
but when you were like living in these communities for extended periods of time, I'm sure everybody's sort of wanting your opinion about your home country.
Absolutely. I love.
What did you tell them?
Well, I tell them that we're a very diverse population. That's part of, I think, what's difficult to be an American traveling outside America. They really only hear Trump. They really only hear, you know, unfortunately, that side of our country is much louder than the other side of our country, because we are very much divided. I feel like we've put ourselves so polarized now where we didn't used to be so polarized, and that we used to be able to have discussions. We could disagree as Democrats or Republicans, but that we could still talk to each other. And now it's like a shutdown in the worst possible way, because we're not going to get any better, quote unquote, if we don't start talking to each other. So one of the things that I notice the most about traveling in places like the Netherlands and Norway and Germany, those are all blended capitalist socialist systems. None of them are pure socialism. We're not pure capitalism here either, by the way. We have regulations that keep that from being a free market.
We're mostly an oligarchy.
Right. And you know, possibly fascist, if we want to go for a full definition of, you know, corporations and military are the biggest interests. Well, they are. They are the most influential interests in our country. So,
and people, if there are like generations, have sort of been, you know, told to celebrate what a corporation can do for them, as opposed to
absolutely
and mistrust governments. But corporations waste just as much money as a government does, or even more sometimes.
And our sense of rugged individualism, which helped us a lot in many, you know, in previous years, I don't think that's helping us as much as it used to. Meaning, we need to care about each other a little bit more. Like, oh, I want to keep my money because the neighbor does. He shouldn't get my money. That underlying concept to me is a bigger deal than kind of having these political or economical discussions that unfortunately, I'm just not that smart in areas of true political science or true economic theories. I'm not very good at those things. I'm not smart at those things. But I see these people who are less stressed. They're not as, they're not as stressed out as we are, because they've got a basis,
security.
When they have, let's say, an accident and they need to take 6 weeks off of work, there's no worry that they may lose a job. I know we have Family Medical Leave Act. I know we have some other things in place for that. And when I talk to them about things like welfare or what do I do now in this situation where we're going to get to it, I had an accident and I'm
recovering.
Yeah.
So the reason you're back here in Chicago is because you had this accident that almost left you for dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You fell down.
Fell down the stairs. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it was a long flight of stairs.
Yeah, it's a long, dangerous flight of stairs. That's for sure.
And so you were in Aruba.
I was in Aruba.
This is my apartment.
Yeah, my apartment is upstairs, and I had my guitar in one hand, and I had all my stuff in my other hand, including a beer bottle, because it's not illegal there to have open alcohol walking or driving, for that matter. Not that that makes it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't really remember the fall that well, but I basically. It looks like I got punched, in all honesty. Unfortunately, I look like a victim of domestic abuse. Mm-hmm. I did more so after, you know, the first few days, obviously. But
and so when you're saying I fell down the stairs, people are looking at you like, are you sure?
Yeah.
It looks like you got hit.
Yeah. The flight attendant on my way home said, you don't have to tell us what happened. And I'm like, no, but seriously, I don't want to be glib. But I'm really seriously, I did actually fall down the stairs. Mm-hmm. I basically, I smashed my right eye socket. Essentially, everything around that was broken in my orbit. The sinuses are broken. I had a skull fracture, and I have no vision still in my right eye. But as a musician, that's my least concerned thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my brain is okay. That's pretty huge.
Well, that's
debatable. Still up for debate.
Always has been, girl.
So
what's the prognosis for your eye? Do you have an idea of what's going to go? Will you get vision back, or do you
most
know?
Likely no? The prognosis is not very good. Though tomorrow I'm going to see a neuro-ophthalmologist here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was part of it. I had this fall in Aruba. It took a while for the ambulance to come get me. It took 3 911 calls and about 2 hours before I was...
So you were laying on the pavement unconscious for 3 hours?
Not quite. I fell. I was unconscious. I got up and went back to my apartment and changed my clothes, though I don't remember that. I realized that I couldn't see out of my right eye and that I was in pain. I wasn't being able to go to sleep. But again, it's really foggy. But what I realized I couldn't see out of my right eye is when I was like, 911. Several of my friends were like, why didn't you just call me? We would have taken you to the hospital. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. You know, it was a trauma. It's a concussion. I'd been drinking. So in the end, the only thought was 911.
Sure.
Thank goodness we like program that into our, this is why you program it into your children so that when you are compromised that you actually could at least go to that, right?
Mm.
So I did. I called 911. Like I said, it took 3 tries before they actually said, okay, we're going to try to get someone out to you. But all their ambulances were just not available. It's an island of about 80,000 people.
You wake
up 120 with tourists.
You wake up in the hospital. Your doctors are, you can't see from one side of your eye.
Well, I remember I did go downstairs and lay on the ground, actually, waiting for the ambulance because I was too afraid they wouldn't find me in my apartment or that I would like bleed out or whatever. I don't know. I was kind of hysterical at that point. I remember being belligerent and hysterical, like, what the fuck? Send me a police car, something. So they need to work on their first responders. I think here, obviously, we're in the city here. And so, you know, we have a greater concentration of first responders. That's the whole thing, is the first person to be on scene. So that could have been like a volunteer paramedic. That could have been a volunteer fire department person. That could have been a volunteer police force at 4 or 5 in the morning on a Friday night. This is probably not a new problem for them, you know? But yeah, it made me think about that more than anything else. That first response thing is so... We take it for granted here in the city.
What feelings are going through your head as you're thinking, I might not be able to see out of this eye ever again?
Yeah. When they first said that to me, so fast forward the story a little bit. In the hospital in Aruba, they did take a CAT scan and I saw an ophthalmologist, but they basically were like, we can't fix you. You have to go home. So I booked a flight the next day, which went through Philadelphia. And so, reminder, I've got multiple facial fractures, including my sinus area. So if any of you out there have sinus issues and you fly, you know that it can be painful on descent. I was in excruciating pain. It actually was not a great idea, but I had to go home. But I had bleeding then behind my eardrums. They were lucky that I didn't do further damage to my eardrums. That would have been much, much more devastating for me as a musician.
Did you know that that pain might happen?
Not really.
So as you're descending, you're like, oh my God, this is excruciating pain.
Well, because I can't do this. I had sinus fractures, so they told me, don't blow your nose. Like, that's all they really told me. Don't blow your nose. So I wasn't really expecting. I knew it was going to be something, but when we went up, it was okay. And now, again, apparently I've never really had sinus problems in my past. So, but other people were like, no, it's the descent because they go down pretty quickly on commercial flights. If I'd have had a medevac flight, they fly at a little bit lower altitude and they descend a lot slower so that your body can keep up. And with a commercial flight,
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you sort of discovered being a dominatrix and here then. You're beaten to a bloody pulp, you know?
I need to start working with someone who's a good graphic artist because I want to do a cartoon about, like, the dominatrix's regular life. Like, she has to go to the dentist and she has to, whatever, like, dumb shit that has to happen in your life. But you're like, no, I'll call you back. Like, sit with your boot on your face until I call you back. And then, okay, I'm ready for the dentist, you know, whatever. I feel like there's a whole series of cartoons that would work there.
Jen, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, the last time you were on the podcast was December 10th, 2009.
Oh.
And the topic is, while camping in Minnesota, musician Jen Porter was trapped inside her tent at night while a terrible tornado raged on. The next morning, Jen awoke, not in the Land of Oz, but next to an enormous tree trunk that crashed next to her tent, only a foot away from your head.
That's right. Yep. And I wrote a song about it, and it was called It Wasn't Her Time, and that's on my fourth album.
But you have a new album that it's a collection of how many songs?
It's eight songs.
Eight songs.
Yeah.
And it's now up for sale.
Yep. I released it January of 2018. The album's called What's Next.
This has nothing to do with falling down the stairs as a dominatrix.
No, it's not.
This is like a Charlie Chaplin, classic irony, as you know,
for sure. I totally agree with you on that. Yes, absolutely.
So you put these other songs and you not realizing that you would be leaving your sort of Caribbean paradise.
Well, yeah. So I'm a little bit on hold with my Caribbean paradise right now, which is okay. I've been on the road for a good 12 years. So my fourth album, that was in 2009. Mm-hmm. So I was here for that fourth album, probably to pre-release, same kind of thing. But then I didn't come on for this past pre-release because I have been gone 7 to 9 months of the year. And when I am here in Chicago, I don't work much. I don't go out much. I like to stay home, maybe go visit Jackhammer. I don't work much I do kind of stay home and I don't like to socialize as much because I'm so fucking social at work that I need that break.
It's time for you to breathe and relax.
Well, I obviously needed a bigger break than I thought I did. I don't think I would have slowed down. And I think it kind of is starting to be, I'm getting a little older. It's not like I'm going out to pasture yet, but maybe I don't need to do 8 or 9 months a year of 6 nights a week anymore.
Why don't we play a little bit of the music from the new album? We already heard Make My Day.
Yes.
Which is your tribute to Dirty Harry.
So funny. I should never name my own songs is the answer to that, really. Is just it's a perfect like pop tune, like happy, fabulous, when somebody good comes along and actually brings about that good feeling for you, no matter what's going on in the rest of it. So also
and then the other song is Do Unto Others, which when I listened to it, I thought it was a very wholesome song, but there's a more sinister side. Well, let's listen to it.
Let's listen to it. You say that you love me when I need it, it doesn't show. You attend to the details, alas, the big picture you forego. Potential alone won't keep me satisfied. I could wear you down like a wave, crashing and smoothing stones. Yet the strength of the sea, it doesn't reside in these bones. I cannot walk for you.
only hold your hand.
Yay, Jen Porter.
So what's the dubious point with that song?
The dubious point.
The sinister.
You reap point. What you sow, okay. Isn't it really? Do unto others as you would have done to yourself. Yeah. That
but
was
you know
what?
People are now saying that that is a patriarchal, oppressive way of looking at the world.
Bullshit. I think because, the golden rule is one
listen,
thing.
Stay put.
Okay,
you're about to evolve as a human being.
Oh,
right
my gosh.
Now.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's talk about the iron rule.
Yes, because you're a dominatrix. You got to know.
Okay.
What's the iron rule?
I don't know. Tell
do
me.
Unto them before they do it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck them over before they fuck you over.
Mm-hmm.
The golden rule is what we know from the Bible. Do unto others as you would want done to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The platinum rule.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, what is the platinum
do
rule?
Do unto others as they want to be done upon.
Mm. So right? It is a higher level of not just about what's good for you, but yeah, what's good for other people.
What's good for me is not good for you. And especially if, you not know, always. If you're in a BDSM role, it's like if you're a dominatrix, you want to, you know, dominate someone. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to give them that. But what do you want done to you? Mm-hmm. And what do they want done? You
and
know?
It's taken into consideration the needs and desires of the person you're interacting with.
I think actually Dom Sub plays right into that platinum role because it isn't really about my satisfaction as a dom. My satisfaction is giving you what you want, not giving you what I think you need or what I a little bit. We push boundaries a little bit because that's part of.
Well, when it comes to sex work, there's a lot of dominatrix out there who are being paid by very regressive individuals to be spanked and tortured and told what to do. And I'm wondering, like, you know, in some ways, like, I'm really appreciative because I think, like, a lot of sex workers actually make the world a better place.
For sure.
By alleviating that tension.
Mm-hmm.
But I wish that, you know, we could cut the dysfunctional spring at the dysfunctional river at the spring by addressing why does this individual need to sort of be abusive to his employees, to be very regressive in his life, only then to later sort of make up or, you know, have the tables turn on them.
Right.
And not understanding that, you know, a healthy dominatrix relationship is one of consent. It's not one of somebody forcing themselves upon you.
No, not at all. And in fact, I, with the few people that I have played with and or worked with, depending on how you want to look at the situation, I've had a couple people that wanted a greater deal of humiliation and degradation than I was comfortable giving as a dom. I tend to be more of a what we call a sensation dom. I'm a bit more of a loving dom. I mean, it's true.
A sensation dom?
You put cayenne pepper on your kisses.
I'll have to bring you my fabulous claws. I have these homemade stainless steel claws. But a friend of mine who's a dungeon master in New Orleans makes them himself. And they look sickening. I mean, they are metal, you know, stainless steel. They look really scary, but they're very, you can use them how you want. They can be very light.
They
can
scratching?
Be very, yes.
Mm. I love it when my husband scratches my back.
But see, the thing
this
is like
that times 10. This gives you that times like another level. And then being restrained while doing it also can give you another level of it's brain chemistry. If you really want to get into that, it's all brain chemistry, fight or flight, the endorphins and the dopamine. It's better than drugs.
What do you make of the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon? I think it's kind of run its course. But,
I do too.
But I think some people complain that actually did more of a disservice.
It did in a lot of ways because it Disneyfied a world of people who I'm very new to the kinkster community. I'm new to the world of BDSM and I've been in for, let's say 3 years, maybe 4 years, but it's lifetime of people who are constantly honing their craft and honing their relationships and talking about things and continuing to get consent. People do sign contracts. That's a real thing.
Oh yeah.
But, it's never on like the third date. I mean,
what's the most outrageous safe word you've ever heard?
I don't know. That's a great question. When I work with people that I don't, again, I haven't developed any long-term power exchange relationships. So I've only played with people on like a one-time basis. We use a stoplight system. Green means Mark go, yellow
what,
is...
Mark knows what my safe word is.
What's your safe word?
I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper.
Oh, we're not going to tell it. Mine's pineapple, by the way.
Is it really?
Yes.
Well, we had a guest.
And there. I didn't know that it's in like a movie that somebody says, maybe okay. Trainwreck with
Amy
Schumer. I was like, no,
Mark, what's my safe word?
Cupcake.
Oh, cupcake.
This is how we're married. That's we would win perfect. The game.
Yes. Oh, that was totally a... Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun, dun,
that's the newlywed game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Only we're the...
You're the oldlywed.
We're the soon-to-be-in-the-coffin game. What's the opposite of like you're not newlywed, but you've been...
An oldie wed.
An oldie wed, yeah.
Oldie wed.
Just comfortable.
Comfortable wed.
How many years have you guys been together?
20 years.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Just beginning of April this month.
Awesome.
I am so profoundly lucky.
You are. You're so lucky.
And therein lies the balance of love and marriage, right? I mean.
Well, I mean, you know, there's thousands of people who tune in to Mark every day to listen to him talk, and I get to...
Oh, he's got that delicious, buttery baritone. How can you not?
Go on.
Stop. Go on. Don't stop. Yeah.
And that's what... like, people ask us a lot about relationships because, you know... And Mark and I, we observe this, that, like, when someone sees a healthy relationship with a couple, good love inspires other people to feel love.
Yeah.
And they ask us all the time, like, you know... I'm having problems with my relationship. They ask me, you know, how do I work things out? And I'm like, you know, I can talk a lot about my relationship with Mark, but it may not be useful to you because every relationship is going to be as different as every grain of sand in the world. Every person, no two snowflakes are alike, you know? And so that relationship that you have with that person is going to be so dependent on communication, but also in activities that don't involve shopping and fucking and building things
is the key.
And that's why part of the reason we did this Cooking with Drag Queens series is just because we wanted, you know, I was really disturbed by the trend that I see in LGBTQ culture that, you know, drag is dominating everything. And and consumer culture is becoming a very big part of drag. And I wanted people to remember that drag is about storytelling. It's about community. And what better way to do it is by cooking with somebody and
creativity.
Telling stories and sharing that moment together. And it's too much to be unfortunate that like everybody's like, my merch is this, you know, my brand is that. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to get your name out there and get people to understand who you are. But, you know, remember where you came from, baby. Drag is a revolution.
Yeah. Well, it's still new that it's, I mean, it's still relatively new that it's in the public spotlight.
Did you ever think that drag would get this big? You know, when we first talked to you?
That's a great question. I mean, no, definitely not. RuPaul, obviously,
what was
changed
drag
the game having drag race.
What was Paul? There was a drag queen named Paula Sinclair.
I love
who
Paula.
Used to do
hey,
shows
girl.
With you.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a staple at the Gentry.
Yeah.
She's still around.
So is Alexandra Billings, by the way. And
well, she's
gone on to insane fame. But, you know, trans, a little different world for her. But
the drag queen.
Paul was drag. Yeah, she was brilliant.
Yeah, and you know, it's like, and part of it was like, it was a novelty, but it was, you know, there was not a line out the door, you know.
It not only is it a novelty, but it's sort of that underground, I mean, who was it? Monica Monroe? She's working at Baton, but she'd come into Gentry all the time. And it was one of the few drag queens that I ended up like getting to know better. You know, I knew of the Chicago drag queen scene, but I wasn't as involved in it where, again, now it's like everybody knows.
Well, there was a schism between the pageant girls and the club kids and the performance artists.
And there still is, I think. And yet,
you think so?
I do, because they all come from their own little side of the world where they think this is the only way to do it. Not so much anymore. I think you're right that now that all the groups have kind of been identified, as it were, because we've seen so much difference and variety on Drag Race. Yeah, that we can kind of see that, okay, drag is still this overarching thing that means creativity, that means performance, that means quick-witted, that means, you know, gag. It does. All of the – and culture, the trend-setting that drag has always done without people even knowing that it was drag –
So as a performer, have you ever gone into that area and say, maybe I want to, you know, put my hair up, pageant gowns and costume, you know, dress up like Madonna. Ellen dressed up as Madonna for one of her shows. And I was like, awesome. You know, Ellen has some nice breasts.
she didn't have them bound down that
day. No, she had a low cut dress with like hair extensions. I mean, she was done up. And she looked good.
And the question is really, did she enjoy that? Because sometimes it is fun to I like letting other people dress me up. I would love to go and have drag queens make me as a drag queen. That would be a super blast. Would I do it myself? Probably not. I didn't even put on makeup for today. I mean, really. I know it's a radio show, but
would you do that for like a music video or like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That might be something really interesting side to see of you, this sort of glamorous, especially, you know, since you're now an amateur dominatrix, having a little bondage, a little vinyl.
Totes.
Betty Page kind of thing going on.
I think
there.
That would be super fun. Yeah.
You know, you've got a lot of friends from it, you know.
Indeed, I sure do. I think I also would like to kind of push that envelope with some of the more like smeared makeup and some of that kind of thing. I like that sort of dark, addition, like Evie Oddly, who's on currently. You know,
I love her. Oh, I love her.
Well, Sasha was one of my favorites too because of that. Like,
what I love about Evie Oddly though is like, you know, last season on All Stars, we had Monique Hart. Was she the one? That, she kept trying to make goop happen, but Evie Oddly is making goop happen because like, if you look at her body, it just like it goops everywhere. You're like, oh my god, she's dripping. Not in sequins, just her body just is just dripping.
Body. Are you saying that her body looks like it's melting?
Totally melting because she has like no collagen or something like that, right? So she can just like
things going on, right? Yeah, she spoke of it a few episodes ago, but she didn't say like fibromyalgia or anything like that. But she's in constant pain.
It's painful too. I don't know. I feel like she has like no collagen, so she can bend, and she does have
like double jointedness, whatever that is
just
too.
Goopy.
Right?
She's
goopy
goop.
In general. She is.
Well, like Selma Blair, she's doing a lot of interviews now. Mm. She's living with full on. MS.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it is heartbreaking.
I've heard just pain every day.
Yeah. And she's, you know, she's like, because I guess with multiple sclerosis, it flares up.
Yep.
And so there'll be days where you're sort of lucid.
Yeah.
You know, and then there are days where you just cannot get those words out. And she did an interview. Mm-hmm. I was just watching it online where it was just, she was just shaking and shivering. And it was just really. Powerful to watch her talk about her condition as it's happening in front of cameras.
It's brave.
There's a woman, Kaylin Hefferman, who's running for mayor in Denver, who is disabled and queer. And her motto is like, vote for me because I won't stand for any of this shit. Now, she did announce it on April Fool's Day, but I think she does, you know, she has an agenda there and she's, you know, trying to, talk about, you know, being queer and disabled.
Sure.
20 Democratic candidates running for president of the United States to kick Trump out. I think, you know, it's part of me is like, people are like, it's going to be, you know, 2016 all over again. And I'm like, I think we have a very clear idea of who Trump is and people are very motivated. And Trump has, you know, done all these crimes now.
Allegedly.
Well, you know, the Mueller report is very clear what the crimes are. And so what we're going to do, I think it's a lot easier to put a Democrat in the White House at this point.
Wouldn't it be fun if he just did like this whole like, oh, I'm done. I don't want to run again. And he's going to make it like all about himself. I hope that happens. That would be really
like
cute.
Nixon.
Yeah.
Like just get on an airplane.
Yep. I'm good. I'm out. Thanks. Yeah.
Peace out.
Before everything
catches
up.
If he gets out, he's going to jail.
I mean.
That's the thing. So he
wants to stay in there for as long as he can. Because, you know, he's a little older now. So he doesn't have that many years left.
It's pretty frightening.
I mean, we've seen so much change just in the since the 2016 election.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And, you know, since in the last decade with you, you know, there's been a conversation about feminism, including trans women now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we're starting to see sort of like, you know, there was a Michigan Women's Music Festival that was a big staple for a lot of female artists. And that sort of ran its course.
So did Lilith Fair back in the day. I mean, every time there's a female focus. Like rock thing like that where they put a bunch of bands together, it almost never seems to stay. Lilith people, went on for several years, mm-hmm. but at some point they weren't selling tickets anymore. Exactly.
Because Beyonce, honey, she's busy headlining Coachella.
Well, she there's that.
That's the part of the thing is like when we see, you know, disenfranchised voices in arts and entertainment, inevitably some portion of those artists are going to become superstars.
Well, and isn't the Women's Music Festival, isn't that Michigan Women's Music Festival, isn't that coming back in some kind of iteration?
I think it's going to be like a circuit party.
Okay.
So it's a little different. Yeah,
it's going to be much, much more modest and not being run by the people who started it, you know? And it's like...
Will it be trans-inclusive?
That's up in the air, you know? And to me, that's the reason that the whole thing started was, you know, this desire to narrowly define what a woman is.
Yeah.
And not create space for people who have gone through the trans experience.
So female identifying rather than cis female, right?
Yeah.
That would be the more inclusive way to go, is anyone who female identifies should welcome at a female event.
It is interesting, like defining what a woman is based on her biology and not her experience.
True.
You know, and for a lot of trans women, they, you know, a lot of feminists who don't want to include trans women in their liberation say that trans women haven't experienced what they've gone through, and you actually listen to the stories of a lot of trans women, they have experienced the same things.
Well, and then it's also women have just such a wide variety of experiences anyway. There's a big difference between being a white woman who comes from a billionaire's family and being somebody that comes from a, you know, disenfranchised, marginal group of people.
Absolutely.
You know, it's education, economics, you know, it's really just like how you were born or how they identified you at your birth is one component of many, many things.
For sure. That's scary, but it's still true. And so what do we do as a society, right, to kind of combat that? I think it is just being aware of it. It is talking. It is having discussions with people. It is listening to podcasts like this, you know. It really is about
that. Well, it's
that.
Too easy to, you know, hear you, my decree is my way or the highway, or my way or Norway, as Mark said.
Sometimes a little bit bore way.
Or three way, four way. So, you know, I think at the end of the day, I think it's just having conversations with people and getting out of the house, go see live music. Go experience that. We went to see, you know, people accuse us of not seeing a lot of drag shows, but recently we've seen quite a few ones here in town. And it's like, I was kind of shocked how many new drag queens there are. Mm-hmm. And they all, listen, ladies, differentiate. You all cannot be Alaska Thunderfuck.
It's hard. I can imagine, because
they all look like Trixie Mattel and Alaska Thunderfuck had babies. You know what I'm saying? That all
those
blonde,
are great queens to model yourself after.
But you know, there's 100 million colors in that rainbow. You know, don't choose just pink.
Nope. Find your voice.
Yeah. And you know, and so the one queen that won this contest, she had half of her face. She had a rabid bear with fangs and blood.
Fun.
And the other half of her face was like happy Japanese anime,
fun,
you know, stuffed animals, doll. And people are just reacting in a very positive way because she stood out from the crowd.
Well, it just goes to show that the more skills you gain, the better you are at your craft, right?
Yeah.
So when you learn to do more makeup, not just looking like a female, but when you know, that's been talked about as well, but learning to do more makeup, being more adventurous with your costuming as well, right? Taking chances, I think, is always that answer. And the people that end up making the best connection with an audience are the ones who are being genuine and taking a chance creatively in one way or another. And people like to be part of that. You don't go to a live show to hear the album, as it were, right? You want an experience, you want a connection, and you want someone to do something that's out of the box to get your attention.
And, you know, great art was meant to be given away. And we're doing a giveaway today.
Yay. We are.
Yeah. So for people who are on Patreon, this is kind of like a, you know, buy a coupon thing. But for $1, if you're a Patreon subscriber, just message us. And we, for the first three people that message us, will get To download Jen Porter's new album.
Wow.
Yay. Yay.
Yes, honey.
Yeah, there's no
more. Thank you
good
for
music.
That.
There's not a lot of CDs anymore. No one really buys CDs anymore. So
what about vinyl?
I love vinyl, but it costs me too much to make vinyl, personally.
A lot of people compare you to Janis Joplin.
I do get that.
Your voice.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does your voice still sound as strong and gorgeous today as it did so long ago?
I really wish I knew the answer to that question, because I have been smoking and drinking the whole time. So, yeah, I don't know. I think I genetically got lucky with having like that really projected voice. I had a little bit of training as far as doing better with keeping it in belly breathing and some other different techniques for singers that help you not strain your actual vocal cords.
Yeah.
That being said, I honestly do believe also that climate makes a huge difference. So it would be a lot harder for me to do six nights a week when I was in Norway, where it's dry and cold, versus doing six nights a week in Aruba, where it's warm and humid. It definitely makes a huge difference.
So there's more music in the Caribbean.
I think that's just because people are on vacation. And so, yes, they're going to shows. You can support that every night of the week. Same with downtown Chicago, for that matter. The reason I worked here for so long and now can return to that a bit. By the way, I'll be at the Redhead Piano Bar on Friday night from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Such a staple, a Chicago staple, that bar.
I finally got that gig. I waited 20 years to get that gig. I had friends who waitressed there, and I used to work at Underground Wonder Bar, which was my favorite place. They closed a few years ago, but
there's only two cabaret piano bars left in Chicago now. Davenport's
still, Redhead. Yep, and Redhead. Yeah. God, isn't that sad? Because there were two Gentries when I first started Gentry. I did Gentry on State and then Gentry on Halstead.
There was another cabaret on Lakeshore Drive. I forgot the name of the club, but
Toulouse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I didn't know that one.
And that was swanky. Yeah. And the drinks were expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people loved that place. So, and it felt like a speakeasy. Like there was no sign. You just knocked on the door and went in there, and it was just like,
super fun. I need to try to get more of my Chicago peeps to come hang out at Redhead, because I'll tell you what, I've only worked there since December, on and off, being in the country, and it's mostly tourists. And I think that's just because it's like Ontario and State.
Yeah.
But it's like a whole bunch of Midwesterners
that are here.
Right? It's a blast, though. It's perfect. Yeah. I mean, the age range for piano bar really, truly is more like 30 to 60. And even Gentry days, I mean, the reason they had such a diverse crowd was the location, obviously, that we had a better age range.
And well, gays love the cabaret.
And gays love their cabaret. It's true, because here we are.
And the other thing,
Do they not care anymore? Mm-hmm. I think they don't have the exposure to that anymore.
And part of it is, too, is because, a lot of those cabaret shows would invite people from the audience to come up and perform and to
do these things. Totally.
So people had a chance to, back in the day, we used to, we still do in some respects, we used to entertain each other.
Dan Stetzel used to do the live karaoke.
Oh, damn.
Remember that?
Yeah.
God, there's a little bit of live karaoke. I see it every once in a while, but I don't know of anybody that's doing it here in Chicago. But that's also
it's so much fun.
Live karaoke, yeah, because it's way better. You get a better, sorry, everybody who loves karaoke regularly.
No, but it's a different
style. There's a
reason
for it. Yes. You have to actually know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That was why Dan's was so good, because Dan had vocal students that would come in and he'd make them sing, which was like the way for them to help kind of keep forward in their vocal lessons as well and doing performance and stuff. Yeah, I remember a few guys that were regular for that.
Jen, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you.
It's good talking to you. It's good connecting with you.
It's so great to be back again and see you guys.
Please don't wait so long.
Sometime. I know. Let's definitely plan to go hang out.
Yeah, let's go to the Jackhammer.
We'll
see you see you in action.
I really just wish that...
Bring those gloves.
I wish Best Worst Drag was a little bit earlier, but I still love you guys. Shout out.
You know.
So, there's the Best Worst Drag Race in the world.
Wait. Best Worst Drag Show ever. 2 a.m.
Monday nights.
Well, so technically Tuesday morning, right?
Tuesday morning, technically.
They couldn't make this show harder to attend and have you have a very unusual collection of drag queens.
Well, and Arbin hosts it. He does glitter bearded drag most of the time, and I love that.
Well, the thing about it, though, too, is it's also they consider it industry night. So it's for people that traditionally work on the weekends and people in the service industry. So Monday night is their night off.
Is
they want a night to do it. And so, I mean, I have taken a disco nap and gone to it before.
And I was going to do that last night, but I was like, I want to be fresh for
the Feast of Fun
podcast.
It's the drag show for drag queens.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
and if you want to see, like, emerging artists, you want to see, hang out with the who's who.
Or you want to go try your hand, that's the place to go. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to get into drag, I would recommend going to that show too.
Yeah.
There's a big variety of levels of experience at that show.
Yeah.
So if you're a newbie and you were thinking, man, I kind of want to try that, what a great opportunity.
Many Rue girls hang out there or used to hang out there. Several or got their did. Start there. And it's like, it's a very important part of our community and our history. And I hope it stays around for a long time.
Me too. I just hope that it maybe moves to midnight one day. Maybe, I don't know.
But that's part of it is
they all get older, but they're still there.
It's hard to attend, like it's pushing the boundaries there. And so
I get why it's supposed to be.
It weeds people out. Kind of like the Chicago winter.
Yes.
This city would be terrible to live in if the winters weren't so brutal, because then it would be like Austin, Texas or Los Angeles.
Too many douchey people would end up here.
Yeah. If you aren't a strong person, this is not the city for you.
Amen.
You got to be tough. And when tough get rough, they listen to Jen Porter's music.
Speaking of tough and rough, that's what we're going to close out with, right? The last song is Because I Can.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Chick rock, fuck you music. I love it. Strong, strong.
Well, best of luck to you, Jen. And I want to thank the listeners for listening. And I want to thank the listeners who support the podcast. And the best way to support the podcast is to become a Plus member. And you can do that at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. And we also have a Patreon, and it's a great way to support the podcast at patreon.com/feastoffun. Again, if you're a Patreon member, email us and maybe you can win a free download of Jen's new album.
All you need to do is just comment on today's show on Patreon. And, I'm going to be posting it as everybody is available to enter into this giveaway. And the first three people who comment or respond to it, get it.
Get it.
And the only way to comment on it is by,
to be a member.
To be a member. So you basically get your album costs, what is it, $75? You're getting it for $1.
Yep, $1.
Into your hot, hot little hands, honey. Mm-hmm. It's a giveaway.
Don't wait 10 years to come back, Jen.
No, for sure not.
Okay.
It's so good to see you.
Promise.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. What's your deal? What's your action? What's your play? You're acting like a boy. You're supposed to be a man. Spreading hate and lies wherever you go. I don't need to listen to you. I know exactly what I want to do. I just want to go out and have some fun. I don't need to listen to you. Won't be the one to let you play me for a fool. I'll do what I want, 'cause I can. I can.